Good morning. It's good to be back together with you all this morning. With us meeting just once a week, I struggle making it through the week. So hopefully we'll have something during the week here in a few weeks. We'll talk about that later. But as we continue in our series through Romans, we're going to be finishing up. Marshall read through the end of chapter 6 last week, but we're going to focus on the very end of chapter 6 this morning. And let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, we thank you again for what you accomplished on the cross on our behalf. Father, we just pray that you would be glorified as we enter the Word together this morning, as we approach your Word. Father, we just pray that you would, Lord, that you would open our eyes to see the truth of what the Scripture says to us. Father, we just pray that you would change our hearts, that you would affect our lives as we consider this text this morning. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here that Father, that has not really understood or believed the gospel, Father, that you would open their hearts this morning, and Father, that you would give them the faith with which to believe. And Father, we just again want to glorify you in all that we do, and we pray that you would bless our time together here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to finish chapter 6, and I just want to, I thought it would be good to remind us, just to remind you again. We've talked about it over and over again, and this text really sort of repeats the text before, but there's some different things in it. But I want to remind you the way that we've spoken on it over and over again, how God speaks to us through this text, through the Word of God. He has spoken to us all the way through Romans and several places before about really how there are two ways to live. In all of the world, there's two types of people, two paths. And this is it's shown to us clearly in the text that we're covering today. But I'm going to just begin by reading, beginning in verse 15 of chapter 6 of Romans, verse 15, and we'll read to the end of the chapter again. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you to notice again in verse 16, which Marshall preached on last week. Verse 16, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Now notice this. You are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. So he's saying there that really we see here that there's two ways to live. Everyone, universally, all of mankind, universally, fit into one of these two categories. There's no one outside of these two categories. They're either, everyone is either in Christ and slaves of righteousness, or they're not in Christ and they're slaves of sin. Everyone is. It's universal. I got to get that through. It's universal. There's no in between. There's no people out there in between these two things. It's either they're a slave to either sin or you're a slave to righteousness or to obedience. Every person who has walked on the earth, minus one, every person that was naturally born on the earth fits into one of these two categories. And it's either sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. So there's two paths. And I was reminded of Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14, just Jesus kind of speaking of the two paths or two gates, where he said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So there's a wide gate, this wide path that's easy to find that leads to destruction. And I think that's what we're speaking of here. And there's many that find that path. The majority of the people that live on the earth, if you talk about the universal, just the universal mankind, you know, everyone that lives on the earth, the majority find that wide gate, that wide path that leads to destruction. But there's a narrow way, a narrow gate that few find. And so you see there's kind of, he's talking about two paths there, but this morning we're talking about two ways to live in chapter 6. So what I want to do is just go through through the verses here in chapters, or verses, well, really through the rest of the chapter. Where right here in 16 we see at the beginning that there's two ways, the way that leads to death or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. And then I want to just quickly go through the rest of the chapter and look at these two ways. And the first way, one way, is the way that all of mankind finds themselves from the moment of their birth. All of us, everyone born on this planet, every human finds themselves in this first path, and it's slavery to sin. There's no one born righteous. There's no one on the earth that's born righteous. All are born on this path of slavery to sin. We enter the world in bondage or slavery to sin. And this slavery rules everything that's going on, our very being. That's the thing that drives us. And you see that in verse 16. In verse 16 it says, "You're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death." So this is the slaves of sin that leads to death, or of obedience. There's just these two options. So everyone born on the earth is born in this slavery or bondage to sin. And so this bondage of sin is the beginning of this first way, and all of us enter the world that way. And it just drives humankind along, this bondage to sin. Left to themselves, mankind are going to stay on this path. You see in history, as we're reading through Genesis, you see that mankind, just at the beginning of Genesis, you see that when God didn't act, unless God acted, what happened to mankind? I mean, it got worse and worse and worse. We see this pattern all throughout the Scripture. Mankind left to himself goes further and further into the sin. Why? Because they're slaves of it. They're in bondage of it. It's driving their thinking. It's driving everything that they think about, everything that they do. And their master, sin, rules what they do and what they desire. And their desires lead them where? It leads them into impurity. And we see that in verse 19, where Paul says, "For I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity." Mankind is born in this bondage to sin, and then that bondage to sin drives them and all that they're thinking, and it leads their members, their bodies, as slaves to impurity. And impurity is really referring to defilement of yourself, of your own body. So driven by their master sin, they present their members, their bodies, to impurity. Their bodies are defiled. And this is really referring to the way that sin affects our individual bodies. You know, it's like sin's driving our thinking and it's leading us along. And then that sin leads us to impurity, to defile our own bodies. It's the way that sin affects us individually. We're slaves to sin, and the sin is driving us along, and we're striving after what? Pleasure. You know, mankind in general, you're looking for pleasure, and in acting on that, the person is affected, their bodies are affected individually by that sin and by the actions. So the slavery to sin leads to this impurity. It leads to your members, presenting your members as slaves to impurity. And then it also leads to presenting your members as slave to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. So this lawlessness, I think Marshall spoke on that. I failed to get the recording, so I couldn't go back and listen. So if I misstate what Marshall said about it, it's okay. It could either be lawlessness talking about breaking the law of God, or just breaking the general moral laws of mankind. You know, it's like this driving and this striving after the sin that's driving all of our actions leads to us impurity to our bodies, plus leads to lawlessness. You know, breaking the law, no care about what's going on around us. And that leads to even more lawlessness. What you have is a picture of sin, the master of mankind, sin, the master of each individual, leading that individual into the defiling of their bodies. They give themselves over to impurity. And then their desires lead them on into lawlessness. And these people might say, if you were saying, you know, the way you're living is not right, they might say, right and wrong? Okay, remember, leading to lawlessness that leads to more lawlessness. You might say, you know, it's just not right to do that. They might say, right and wrong? Who are you to say what's right and wrong? You know, who are you to say what's right for you and what's wrong for you may not be right for me, or it may not be wrong for me. Who are you to judge? Have y'all heard that a lot? I mean, you hear that a lot. Who are you to judge? You know, who are you to judge what's right and wrong? And, you know, that's the way a person might respond, because this lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. So they're in slavery to the sin. It's driving their life. It leads to this lawlessness, to where law or any right and wrong make absolutely no difference. It reminded me, just popped into my head for some reason, the Sheryl Crow song. I'm going to quote Sheryl Crow. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. That's kind of the attitude. If it makes you happy, it can't be that bad. What are you talking about, man? And that's what's described here. Sin has a hold. The bondage of that sin makes mankind look at themselves and say, you know, this makes me happy. It can't be that bad. This makes me happy. It can't be bad. I know they're saying that, but man, it doesn't make any difference. And that's what we see pictured here. Lawlessness leading to lawlessness. And that's the way mankind presents their bodies. Verse 19 speaks of presenting our members, our bodies, as slaves to lawlessness that leads to more lawlessness. So we see here the lawlessness leading to more lawlessness. We see that here this downward slope of individuals first defiling themselves in their own bodies and then presenting themselves as slaves of lawlessness. You see the downward slope, and that lawlessness leads to more lawlessness. You see in this picture really what we studied in Romans 1, don't you? It's just this downward spiral. And all mankind is on this trajectory, if not for the action of God. We were on that trajectory, if not for the action of God. But we see that, think about that just a minute. Think about the downward spiral. Have y'all, just thinking personally in your own lifetime, maybe in your own life, we've all experienced this moment in our life where we were slaves to sin. Some of us don't remember that. Some of us were in church, our whole life and were saved at an early age and don't remember. But some of us do. That moment where you were in this downward spiral. It's like, sin drove your thinking. And the things you desired were all towards these things that caused you to, it seemed to give you a little pleasure for a short while. But then you desired more of those things. And I think about pop culture. I grew up in the 80s and I was I was one of those hair band fans back in the 80s. And I was as a teenager, I was in church, but I listened to music and I kind of looked up to some of these guys sort of for some reason. But some of those guys that I watched in the 80s that were stars, and almost in my sinfulness, envied some of the things that you saw they were experiencing as a teenager. I envied that somewhat. But you can look back on those guys. Some of the guys are still alive. Some of them are still alive, and you can look at their lives and see the result, that downward spiral. We've seen it with friends that we grew up with. I think back to like sixth grade. Back then, I always think of sixth grade as like there was this time from sixth grade to seventh grade where all of these pretty good little kids all of a sudden turned into something else. And you don't understand. It's like, what happened to you guys over the summer, from sixth to seventh grade? And then some of those kids that I grew up with, I've seen their lives just spiral downward. It's just this downward spiral. It just one thing leads to another. And that sin has taken hold, and the bondage of sin has taken hold of their lives, and it led to lawlessness. That led to more lawlessness. And I know you've probably seen that. There's pop stars I've seen in the last 10 years where you see that progression. And it is saddening, but it's the fact of life. It's the way the world is. And so we see here that lawlessness is progressive. Progressive lawlessness. It's like it starts out small and it progressively leads to more sin and to more sin and to more sin. And so you've heard of progressive sanctification. There's also progressive lawlessness, you could say. It's a pattern that continues on and on. But it's the thing that being a slave to sin, it drives you for these short-term little pleasures of what's going on, and then you need something further, and you're constantly reaching for the next thing. Or maybe you find happiness or satisfaction. Everyone's looking for happiness or satisfaction. Maybe people don't find it in those things like maybe drugs or alcohol or whatever the issue is. That maybe they're not reaching there, but you see people also reaching to find happiness in possessions. You see people that maybe you look at them and they're not doing any major big sinful things, but they got these possessions and they're constantly reaching and they get one thing and then what happens? They need something else and they go after something else and they go after something else. There's a constant progression that way. And you can look at people that they're all on the same path. They may go off into total unrighteous living, or they may go off into seeking after things and possessions and all those things. And you see people like that become filthy rich. They've got all that they could have, and they're constantly trying to reach and grab the next biggest thing. It's like you know, whatever it is out there that's driving them. And they go all through their life searching that way. And what, and you can look at the people at the ends of their lives, and there's not any joy there. It's just a constant striving after the wind, as Solomon would say. And so we might have even envied those people. We might look at some of those people that have possessions, or we might look at some of the pop stars that we see that have a lot of success right now. We might even look at some supposed preachers that seem to have lots of success and lots of possessions. We might look at those type of people, but we look at the pop stars and all of those people, and we might say, what has happened to them now? We envied them in our sin, in our sinful thinking. We envied them, but we can look at them now and say, what has happened to them? So let's go on. Verse 20. Verse 20 says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." So we see this progression towards lawlessness. But then he says, "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." And I've got to tell you, when I first read that and was thinking about it, it sort of seemed like, you know, as someone who is now a slave to righteousness, maybe you might look back and go, back then I was free from righteousness. I could do whatever I wanted. You know, you could kind of get that thought in your head. Well, maybe, you know, back then I could do whatever I wanted. And, like you're free to do whatever you want, but I don't think that's what it's saying, because it's saying that you're slaves to sin. But when you were a slave to sin, you were free from righteousness. You were free in regard to righteousness. You were not a slave to the righteousness, but you were a slave to sin. So when you were a slave to sin, sin was the only thing that was driving you. See, you had no righteousness. You were free from it. It was the only thing that was driving you. You had no thought of anything righteous. Sin was reigning in your body, and righteousness would have no power. Sin, righteousness would have no power over you, because, I mean, you didn't desire it. You didn't even think of it. And so your whole thinking was dominated by seeking a short-term pleasure that you thought might bring some joy in your life, but it didn't. It doesn't bring it. What did it produce? What did that short-term pleasure produce? Verse 21. But what? Now remember, this is referring back when you were slaves to sin. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? So when you think of when a person, before they were a Christian, before they were given this slavery to righteousness, this desire after righteousness, when you look back and say, what was the fruit that was being produced by your slavery to sin? And the slaves of sin, the fruit that is produced, he says at the end of verse 21, "For the end of those things is death." So these slaves to sin that are seeking after this pleasure, these short-term periods of pleasure, or maybe seeking after, you know, pleasure, whether it's in outright sinful actions or sinful actions and seeking after things, coveting other people's stuff or going after those things. Whatever it is, they're seeking after pleasure, seeking after joy. But what happens? The end of those things is death. All of those things that dominate our thoughts before lead to death. They lead to misery and death in the long term. In verse 16, let me go back to 16. In verse 16, we read, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death?" We read there that being obedient slaves of sin leads to death. And then here in verse 21, where we're at now, we read the same thing, for the end of those things is death. And then in verse 23 at the very end, what do we read? For the wages of sin is death. That's the fruit of this life in bondage to sin. Those who are in Adam, in bondage and slavery to sin, the fruit, the result, is what? It's death. This is where this path leads. It leads to death. Maybe short little term satisfaction here and there with gaining things or particular sins, but the path ends in death. And that's what happens. That's the result of remaining in Adam. That's the one path we see in the Scripture. And so let's look at the other path. And I ask you, where does the other path begin? As we've read through our text this morning, I've really not mentioned it. We've read some of the other path, but I've not mentioned it. But I think it's obvious from our text this morning that Paul is making a comparison to, he's speaking to us, making a comparison of these two paths, speaking of the way we once were and the way that we now are. In verse 17, we read, But thanks be to God, that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. You have become slaves of righteousness. I love the beginning of verse 17. So we see this picture, this path that leads to death. And then we have this but. I love the buts in the Scripture. You have the but God. And here he says, but thanks be to God. But thanks be to God. You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. So the difference between men and women on these two paths are the first path, they were born. They start the path from being born. But when we look back on our own lives and think about those who are in Christ, the difference, the beginning point, is something we've talked about the last several weeks. The beginning of this new path is the new heart that's given at the time of regeneration. Now, I didn't want to go back and review all of chapter 5, but really what happens is the way the person begins the other path is we've understood ourselves as desperate sinners. We kind of see ourselves as being those on the wrong path. God opens our eyes to that and we see it, that we're sinners, that we're slaves of sin. It's just seeing that, you know, because the ones who are slaves of sin, they don't even notice that they're slaves. You know, they're just going along through life seeking whatever pleasure they can find, whatever happiness they can find. They're just living their lives seeking pleasure and pleasure and pleasure, and they find a little pleasure in one thing and then it becomes not enough and they go after the next thing, and they don't know they're slaves. The beginning of the other path is whenever God opens someone's eyes and they see the path they're on. They see the condition of their heart. They see the sick condition they're in, and they realize, I'm a slave to this. I have no power over this sin, and I'm in a bad place. You know, they see that first, and that's at regeneration. They understand themselves as sinners. They understand that they're slaves of sin, and then they hear the good news of the gospel that Christ died. I think this all comes together. It just hits all at once. But they hear the gospel, the good news that Christ died, was buried, and rose from the grave, that he was obedient to the Father, that he suffered the wrath of God against sin on the cross. That's the difference. We've heard the good news, and God, by the Holy Spirit, has worked regeneration in us. He's made us aware of the way we are, that we're slaves, and then he's made us see what Christ accomplished and made us trust in that, that it's complete, that that everything has been accomplished. All, you know, everything has been fixed and made right. He causes us to see that. And that's the beginning of this other path. That's the beginning was more fully spoken of in chapter 5. It was so much spoken of that God regenerates and does this work in people, brings them from death to life, that we first got the objection that Paul spoke of at the beginning of Romans 6. What, you know, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. You know, it was, truth of that was spoken of in 5. And so that's where the path begins. We see that we're set free from sin. And then we're caused to be obedient from the heart. We see that in verse 17. You who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And we see in 18, having been set free from sin, you've become slaves of righteousness. So that's how that happens. You know, you see your condition, you trust in Christ, you're set free from sin, you're given power over sin, and then you're made a slave of righteousness. Your desire switches from seeking after those sinful things to try to seek pleasure to where your heart is driven towards righteousness. And then that new path begins, that new way to live begins. And then in verse 22 we read, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. So now that we've been set free from sin and become slaves of God, that fruit that we did produce that leads to death has changed. We're no longer slaves to sin, but now we're slaves to God. And the fruit that you get going this direction, living this life, this fruit leads to sanctification. This slavery to God, the slavery to righteousness, leads to sanctification. So sanctification here is, you could also say holiness. It's this setting apart, this making holy. So that the fruit of this other path leads to holiness. And Paul goes on to say that at its end is eternal life. So as the slavery and sin progressively leads to impurity and lawlessness, this slavery to righteousness, slavery to God, progressively leads to holiness, to sanctification, to us being changed and transformed into the image of Christ. You see, the two different paths are going in opposite directions. But we see that the path, this path leads to holiness. And then we see really it's summed up in verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, the one path. You got one path going. Wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God on the other path is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we see here the end of the two paths right here summarized in verse 23. It's showing that's the end of both paths, either death or eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we see two paths. So I want to ask you, just think about this for a minute. We might ask now, as we read this scripture, we might think, What is this application to us? How does this apply to us? Why has God given us this word from Himself through Paul at this section? Who's He speaking to? You know, we've seen the two paths here. Who is He speaking to? Is He speaking to those who are in Adam to bring them out of slavery into the slavery of righteousness? You can read this stuff. A lot of times we'll read it as Christians. We'll read this and say, oh, yeah, that's, you know, other people need to hear this. You know, some, we need to share this good news or this news with those other people out there. But we need to think about who was it written to. Just to remind us in verse 17, but thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching to which you were committed. This scripture was not written to those who were in Adam. It's written to us, to the church. It's written to us. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart. The scripture is given to us for a reason. It's for a reason. We talked about it before. All of this, where some of those who were slaves to sin is speaking of us. You know, the comparison is there in each verse. You were slaves, but you know, you were slaves to sin, but now you're slaves to righteousness. And so it's written to the church for a purpose. And I want to read Romans 6, verse 11. I don't have this on the screen, but let me just listen. So you also, now this is the same chapter he's speaking to us, to the church. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for righteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. And then in verse 19 we read, he says at the end of verse 19, so now present your members. He says, so at the end of verse 19, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. So why did Paul give these abominations, that's not right. He's given us a charge to do these things. He says to the church, he says all these statements, let not sin reign in your bodies. Do not present your members. Present your members. You know, he's given these commands. Why did he give those things to us? Among all these positional statements. So you notice in chapter 5, the whole thing in chapter 5 is showing what's happened to us if we are in Christ. We've been taken from death to life. We were dead, we've been made alive. We've been placed in Christ. All of those things are given. And then remember chapter 6, at the beginning of chapter 6, verse 2, he says, are we to continue, in verse 1, he says, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Remember we talked about the emphasis on the we. How can we, who we are? You know, how can we, being in Christ, how can we who have died to sin still live in it? Well, he gives us these charges among these positional statements because the focus is on the positional statements, who we are in Christ. That's the focus of it. But he's also telling us, he's reminding us, this is your position. Therefore, live this way or remember it. Remember it. You know, the important thing is that we remember, because we need to hear it and be reminded. The reason Paul tells us and reminds us of how we were and how we are now is because we need to hear it. We need to be constantly reminded of that. Because in Christ, we've been set free from sin. In Christ, we've been given all that we need to progress in holiness and sanctification. In Christ, we have those things. In Christ, we've been given the freedom. We've been set free from sin. We have the ability to overcome it in Christ. It's only that as we remember who we are in Christ, that's where the power comes to overcome it. But also, we need to be mindful of who we were, because it's always there in the background. It's sort of like we've been made new. We've been set free from sin. But we still have that lingering slavery of sin that sort of is still there. You know, it has no power over us, but sometimes we forget who we were and who we now are. And that's why it's vital that we remember those things. Because those who are in Christ, those who have been set free from sin, those who have been made slaves to God and slaves to righteousness, those people are going to be longing for righteousness. They're going to be, you know, they're going to be seeking out righteousness. They're going to be longing for it. But there are times where we get a little lazy. You know, there's times where we just, you know, we long after Christ. Should we just sit still and just sort of wait? You know, sometimes I think, you know, we believe that God does all the work in changing our hearts and doing all those things and bringing us to Christ. We believe that He does those things. But sometimes we can get a little lazy and just sit back and wait on God to take the sin away. Well, the thing is, He's already done it. He's already done it. We don't need to, we don't really need to wait on Him to do it. We just need to remember who we are. Remember what we've been brought from. And remember what has been accomplished in Christ. And so that's what I would like to leave you with. Again, I said this a few weeks ago. It's those times where it sort of helped me. And James and I have talked about it, and I talked about it before. It's just that idea that, you know, remembering who you are. And sometimes when you bump up against things and you go, wait a minute, that just doesn't fit. You know, temptation comes and you see that over out of the corner of your eye, and your old lingering slavery to sin that you sometimes forget is taken away. Some kind of pulls your eye that direction. But when you have it in mind, have it in view, this scripture in view, it enables us to remember, wait, that's the old. That's been taken away. That's not me. That no longer fits. That's how we are empowered to overcome those things. And God has given us all that we need to do that. In Christ, it has been accomplished. It has been taken away. So let us remember that. Let us remember who we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. Father, we thank You for this text. Father, we thank You for the encouragement in it that this is not so much about us trying to make ourselves righteous. It's that we have been made righteous. That we sometimes forget that we have been made righteous, and we forget who we no longer are. And Father, we just pray that You would help each of us as we go through our days as we struggle with lingering sins and things that we've struggled with for years and years. Sometimes we struggle against those things by just complaining to ourselves. You know, I've got to get better at that. But Father, I just pray that You would help us to see that it's not in our own power that we overcome anything, but it's in Your power as we just count ourselves who we are, as we remember who we are. And Father, we just pray that You would help us all to see that. Help us to overcome the temptations that we face each day as we live our lives. And Father, help us to grow and to progress into that sanctification. That Father, we just pray that You would help us to progress into the holiness and righteousness that you desire us to conform to. And Father, we thank You for our church. Thank You for the blessing of us meeting together to worship as we open the Word together. And Father, we just praise You for all that You have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.